Okay, so hard not to talk about Asar B'Teves on Asar B'Teves, and especially when Asar B'Teves falls out on a Friday, which is pretty rare, and raises halachic issues. Shockingly, well, let's start at the beginning. There are no fasts on Shabbos, and there are no fasts on Sunday, except, okay, there's one fast. I'm sorry, there are no fasts on Erev Shabbos. Right, Asar B'Teves is the only fast that can ever fall out on an Erev Shabbos, and Yom Kippur is the only fast that ever happens on Shabbos and is not Nidcha. It is often the case that Tisha B'Av and Shivasa B'Tammuz fall out on Shabbos, and they're pushed off till Sunday. Okay, it is sometimes the case, you know, moved up, they're moved back, except for Tanis Esther. We normally say Akdume Puranusa Lo Makdiminan. We do not move up a fast day, we only defer it, except for Tanis Esther. Presumably that's because the technical reason is Tanis Esther is followed by Purim. So you'd be pushing off Purim. But it's also the case probably that Tanis Esther is not that sad. It's not really Puranus. So we move Tanis Esther up. Okay? Now, on some level, you could say that Asara B'Teves falling out on a Friday is just, you know, a calendaric curiosity. For whatever reason, the other fasts can't fall out on a Friday. Tanis Esther can. I'm sorry, Asara B'Teves can. But it turns out, and we'll get to this in a bit, it turns out there's a significant shita in Rishonim, it's an Avudraham, who holds that if Tanis Esther fell out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. Now, why is that shita not well known? Because under our calendar, Asar B'Teves can never fall out on Shabbos. So it's just a theoretical position. But it's a fascinating theoretical position. And it raises the question of how it could be that Tisha B'Av and Shivasar B'Tammuz, you know, would be nidcha from Shabbos, but Asara B'Teves would not. It means, and this is what I want to explore today, it means there may be something more important about Asara B'Teves than we normally think of. Okay, let's start at the very beginning. In a random poll of Orthodox Jews about which of the four fasts, and of course there are four fasts that are quoted by the Navi, Tisha B'Av, Shivasar B'Tammuz, Tzom Gedalia, and Asar B'Teves, you know, what's the most important? So obviously the answer is Tisha B'Av. What's in second place? Shivasar B'Tammuz. And tied for last place, or tied for third place, is Tzom Gedalia, which doesn't get much in the way of publicity because it's the day after Rosh Hashanah. And Asar B'Teves, which doesn't get much publicity because it's Asar B'Teves and it's the middle of the winter and it's a short fast for us. And, you know, it is what it is. Now, other than the fact that I completely made up that survey, it's all true, right? Nobody thinks of Asar B'Teves as being the most important of the four fasts. And yet, we'll have to deal with a shita that suggests that Asar B'Teves, at least in theory, is the only one of the four fasts that could ever be observed on Shabbos. Okay, let's start at the beginning. And we have a sheet, I believe. Okay, here we go. The source, the only source for the halachic obligation to fast on the four fasts that we know of is a pasuk in Zechariah in source number one. Okay, here it goes. Says the Navi, Ko amar Hashem Tzvakot. Tzom ha-rivi'i, v'tzom ha-chamishi, v'tzom ha-shivi'i, v'tzom ha-asiri. And let's translate. Tzom ha-rivi'i is the fourth month. So Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Shivasar B'Tammuz. V'tzom ha-chamishi is the fifth month. That's Av, Tisha B'Av. V'tzom ha-shivi'i, that's Tishrei. That's Tzom Gedalia. V'tzom ha-asiri, that's the tenth month. That's the month we're in. That's Teves. What does the Navi say? Yihyeh lebeit Yehuda lissasonu lissimcha ulemoadim tovim v'ha'emet v'hashalom ehavu. Okay, these four fast days will one day be holidays. Okay, lovely. But till their holidays, they are fast days. That is the source. Just remind ourselves of, in the Pasuk, there seems to be no distinction between the fasts. They all seem to exist on the same level. Okay? So much for the halachic background. Now, before we get to Lamdus on Asar B'Teves, let's do the history, because the history very much ties into the Lamdus, but also because the history really matters. Okay? Let's start in source number two with the Psukim in Malachim Bet Perek Chaf Dalet. Okay, the background is as follows. You know, the Jews are living in the land of Israel. It's not going well. God has told us through the Nevi'im, particularly through Yirmiyahu, that we've crossed the line and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed and we should not oppose Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, obviously it's not a popular position, but the Navi is telling people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the die is cast, it's over, don't fight against Nebuchadnezzar. And the people reject that Nevuah in favor of the Nevi'ei Sheker, who are saying, you know, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, God would never destroy his own home. Okay, here's the background. Says the Navi, Vayavo Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel al Ha'ir va'avodav tzorim olal. Nebuchadnezzar, this is not Asar B'Teves yet. Nebuchadnezzar comes against Yerushalayim. Vayetze Yehoyachin Melech Yehuda al Melech Bavel, hu ve'imo va'avodav v'sarav v'sarisav v'yikach oto Melech Bavel b'shnat shmona l'molcho. Yehoyachin, a bad king, goes out to challenge Nebuchadnezzar. He, his mother, his servants, the army, and they are taken captive. Vayotze, this is, by the way, what's known as Galut Yehoyachin. This is not the main one, but this is the first Galut. The Beis HaMikdash still exists. Vayotze misham et kol otzrot Beit Hashem va'otzrot Beit HaMelech. So Nebuchadnezzar, he does not destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but he basically loots it. He takes out the otzrot Beit Hashem and the king's, you know, fortune. Vayekatzeitz et kol klei hazahav asher asah Shlomo Melech Yisrael b'Heichal Hashem kasher dibei Hashem. He cuts them, he destroys them, he steals them. Here comes Yudalit, vihigla et kol Yerushalayim ve'et kol asarim. He exiles all of Jerusalem, all of the advisors of the king, ve'et kol gibore achayil aseret alafim gole, v'chol hecharosh v'hamasker, lo nishar zulat dalat am haaretz. He exiles, what I would say is the upper class. He exiles the king, all of the king's, you know, officers, all of the leaders of the army, obviously. And I didn't look up. I know how to translate exactly hecharash v'hamasker, but it's the educated members of society. Okay, let's say nowadays he exiles, you know, all the doctors. Okay, so basically he takes the whole leadership of Yerushalayim to Bavel. And he leaves just, as the pasuk says, just the Amei Haaretz, but he leaves the Beis HaMikdash. Vayagel et Yehoyachin Bavela ve'et Eim HaMelech ve'et Nishei HaMelech ve'et Sarisav ve'et Elei Haaretz Halich Golam Yerushalayim Bavela. He exiles to Bavel all the leaders of the Jewish people. What does he want to leave behind? So he's taking the king, so he imposes on them a puppet king. Vayamlech Melech Bavelet Matanya Dodo. He puts in charge Matanya, the uncle of Yehoyachin, Vayasev et Shemot Tzidkiyahu, and he renames him Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu, also a bad king. And shockingly, Tzidkiyahu doesn't learn his lesson. Vayas hara b'nei Hashem k'chol asher asa Yehoyachim. He also is bad. Ki al af Hashem haita b'Yushalayim u'b'Yuda ad hiskilo otam me'al p'nei panav. Vayimrod Tzidkiyahu b'melech Bavel. Okay, God and the Navi tells Tzidkiyahu, do not rebel against Melech Bavel. God has already told us that there's no way we're going to beat Melech Bavel. And against God's explicit wishes, he rebels against Melech Bavel. Now, obviously, this infuriates Nebuchadnezzar, because Yehoyakim is the puppet king who he put in. And now the puppet is rebelling. Now we come to us. Source number three, Malachim Bet Perek Chafei, Vayhi Bishnat HaTishiit LeMalcho. in the ninth year of the reign of Jehoiachin. That means the galus happened 9 years ago, right? By the way, the galus included, I forgot to mention this, the galus included primarily the Navi Yechezkel, also a person you might know from the Purim story, Mordechai, other people like that, okay? 9 years later, Nebuchadnezzar's had enough. B'chodesh ha'asiri be'asar l'chodesh on asara b'tevei. Ba'nevuchadnezzar melech bavel hu v'chol chaylo al Yerushalayim v'yichan aleha v'yivnu aleha dayek saviv. He sieges Jerusalem and he builds siege towers around it. V'tavo ha'ir b'matzor ad ashtei esrei shana l'melech tzidkiyahu. Very important. The city is sieged until ashtei esrei shana, the 11th year of the melech tzidkiyahu. Kid is not true. It doesn't happen that in Teves the siege starts, and then, you know, a few months later in Teves they break through the walls, and a few months and 3 weeks later they destroy the Beis Hamikdash. The siege lasted more a year and a half at least. So it went from Asar B'Teves till the next Asar B'Teves, till the next Shivasar B'Tamuz. Okay, so it's just a much longer period of time. Let's say it's 18 months. But what's clear is that Asar B'Teves is recorded by the Navi as the day that the siege of Yerushalayim begins, exactly as we've been taught our whole lives. And presumably, that's why Asar B'Teves is a fast day. But there's something else that makes Asar B'Teves a fast day that's as closely related as you could be to why we fast, but it's a different reason. Okay, I mentioned already that Yechezkel, with the leadership of the Jewish people, is in Bavel, in Galus. Look at source number 4. Perek Chaf Dalet in Yechezkel. Says the Navi, Vayhi Dvar Hashem Elai Bashana HaTishiyit, the ninth year of Yehoyachin, it's the same day, B'chodesh HaAsiri, the 10th month, that's Teves, Be'asar LaChodesh Lemar. So on Asara B'Teves, on the exact day that Nebuchadnezzar starts his siege of Yerushalayim, the Navi Yechezkel gets a Nevuah. What's the Nevuah? Pasuk Bet. Ben Adam, Kitav Lecha et Shem Hayom Hazeh, et Etzem Hayom Hazeh. Write down the exact date, Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Samach Melech Bavel El Yerushalayim, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. God comes to Yechezkel and he says, write this down, and presumably tell the people, that on this exact day, far away from here, Nebuchadnezzar has started to siege Jerusalem. Now, why is this so important? We know already, in fact, it's a fact. What's important is Yechezkel could not possibly have known this on that date. You know, there's no phones, there's no internet. The whole idea here is Yechezkel is going to tell the people that the siege has started. Now, the only way he could know that is through a prophecy. And that will help prove that Yechezkel is a true prophet and that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And that's more or less what the Radak says in source number 5. Look at source number 5, says the Radak. Ben Adam, Kitov Lecha et Shem Hayom Hazeh et Etzem Hayom Hazeh, HaNevuah Ba'alo Ba'asara B'Teveit. The Nevuah came on that day. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, as the Pasuk says, Sheba'oto Yom Samach Melech Bavel Al Yerushalayim, Va'amar Lo, so God says to Yechezkel, She'yichtov Oto Hayom, he should write down the date, V'yir'eh Livnei Hagola, and he should tell it to the other members of the exile. Ki ba'oto hayom samach melech bavel, right? So Yechezkel should go out and tell everybody, on this exact date, the siege has begun. U'kishe yishmu'u achar kach mipi ha-magidim, ki kein haya ba'oto hayom atzmo, shekotav ha-navi, when eventually the news comes that the siege really did begin on the 10th of Teves, as Yechezkel had prophesied, Yedu ki navi haya betocham. They'll know that he's a true prophet. Ve'emet heim dvarav, she'omer lahem b'shem Hashem. V'lo yishmu'u od el nevi'ei ha-sheker. Right, so the Radak says, what's significant about Yechezkel getting the news on that exact day? Because the only way he could have gotten the news is through a prophecy. And he's going to go out and he's going to tell everybody, the siege has started. And maybe they don't believe him. But a few months later, when messengers come and they say, the siege started, and the people say, on what day? And they say, on the 10th of Teves, the Radak says, they'll believe in Yechezkel. They'll believe that Yechezkel is a true Navi, and they'll stop believing the fake Nevi'im who keep saying, don't worry, God will never destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Because now they'll know that Yechezkel is a true Navi, and that sadly, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Just as an aside, it's obviously the case that nobody wants to believe a Navi of doom. Right, there's a reason why being a prophet of doom is a depressing job, and you often get beaten up and thrown in jail, and they try to kill you. None of us want to believe the bad news. But the struggle was over the fact that God had said, you know, you have sinned, and there's no going back from your sins. We would like to believe that we can always fix it. But the truth is the people didn't accept it, and they didn't try to fix it either. Okay, so what do we have so far? We have, there was an original exile, the Galus Yehoyachin. It didn't help. The people still didn't get the news and didn't accept it. They put in a new king. Nebuchadnezzar puts in a new king, Tzidkiyahu. He too rebels along with the people. And Nebuchadnezzar sieges the city and ultimately he destroys the city and destroys the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So obviously we fast because on the 10th of Teves, the siege began. But apparently, or perhaps, we also fast because on that day, Yechezkel got the word that this was the day. Now, why that would be a reason for a fast, we'll come to in a bit. But there's no machlokas. The 10th day of Teves, Asar B'Teves, was the day the siege began. And simultaneously, the Jews in the exile in Bavel got the word that the siege had begun.
Eli, I know this is not a Shia in Tanakh, but how come in Malachim and that Pasuk Yutes, suddenly they changed the name from Yehoyachin to Yehoyakim?
First of all, Jackie, you're revealing your biases. What's so bad about having a Shia in Tanakh?
I agree.
Okay, but the answer to your question is I have no idea. I assume it's just like sometimes it's Nebuchadnezzar and sometimes it's Nebuchadrezzar. And they're clearly the same person. But luckily, I could find out the answer because I go to yeshivas. A lot of people know a lot of Tanakh. Bli nether, I will ask and try to find out. But I think you have this a lot in Navi. I don't want to sound like a person who knows that much about it. But I think, again, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadrezzar, Yehoyachin, Yehoyakim. It happens a lot in Tanakh. I'm not sure why, but bli nether, I'll try to figure it out. Maybe we'll have a shir in Tanakh one day. Okay, so much for the psukim. But it turns out, there's another Shita that thinks that Asar B'Teves is fasted for another reason. And actually, to be precise, this Shita of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who you may have heard of, thinks we're fasting on the wrong day, that the fast should be on the 5th of Teves, not the 10th. Let's look together at source number 6, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Bet. Gemara says as follows. Tanya Amar Rav Shimon, that's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Arba Adivarim Haya Rabbi Akiva Doresh, Va'ani Ein Doresh Kimoso. There are four things Rabbi Akiva holds that I don't hold like. It's just interesting because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so he lists them. Here's the one we need. Says Rashbi, he says, Tzom Ha'asiri Ze Asara B'Teves. Shabo Samach Melech Bavel Al Yushalayim. Again, what he's darshaning is the first pasuk we saw, right? The Navi Zechariah says there are four fast days, and he lists them by month. Soma Revi'i, Soma Chamishi, Soma Shivi, Soma Asiri. Soma Asiri is Asar B'Teves. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, so Rabbi Akiva holds that Asar B'Teves is Soma Asiri. Shabo Samach Melech Bavel Al Yushalayim. That's the day the siege began on Jerusalem. Okay. Skip to where my cursor is in the fourth line. Va'amai kari le asiri. Why is it called the fast of the 10th? Obviously, Asiri l'chadashim. All the fasts in that pasuk are identified by what number month they are. Teves is the 10th month. So then he asks, v'haloha yaro'u zeh lichtov rishon. Wait, but chronologically, Asar b'teves comes before the other fasts. It's the beginning of the siege. V'lama nichtav kan. So why is it written in that order? So the answer is obvious. Kidei lahastir chadashim kitikunan. Because the months, it's not listed historically, chronologically, it's just listed by month. Fourth month, fifth month, seventh month, tenth month. That's just the easier way to write it. Okay, that's the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Says Rav Shimon bar Yochai, va'ani eini omer kein. I disagree. Ela tzom ha'asiri, ze chamisha b'teves, shebo basa shmua la'gola shehuksa ha'ir. No, he says, you don't fast in Teves because the siege began. You fast in Teves because on the fifth of Teves, the first word came to the Galus, to the people in Bavel with Yechezkel, that the city had been destroyed. Shanema, the pasuk says, "Vahi b'shtei asrei shana be'asrei be'asiri be'chamisha lachodesh." In the 11th year of the king Yehoyachin, on the fifth day of Teves, ba'elai ha'palit nushalei mohuk sa'ir, the news came that the city had been destroyed. So what? So he says, "Va'asu yom shimua." Kiyom Srefa, they established the date upon which they got the news as if that was the day that the thing had actually happened. Okay, stop here for a second. It's a hard thing to understand, but it seems like, you know, the center of Judaism was already in Bavel. And so the fast, according to Rashbi, was established on the day that the center of Judaism got the word that Yerushalayim had been destroyed, that the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed. Presumably, you know, they rent their garments on that day. Maybe they fasted. And so that became the fast of Teves. So now, what's happened? He's changed the chronology. Right? Asar b'Teves used to be the first thing that happened. Now it's the last thing that happened because it took a long time for the word to get to Bavel. And he says, "V'nirim dvarai mi dvarav," and I think I'm right and Rabbi Akiva's wrong. "She'ani omer al rishon rishon v'al acharon acharon, v'hu omer al rishon acharon v'al acharon rishon. Ela shehu moneh l'seder chadashim," he counts by the months, "v'ani moneh l'seder puranios." Right? Says Rav Shimon bar Yochai, look at the first pasuk. Now I got it right. The chronology works. Soma rivii is when they broke through the walls on Shivasar B'Tamuz. Soma Chamishi is Tisha B'Av, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Soma Shivi'i is the assassination of Gedali, which happened after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. V'Tsoma Asiri is the last event when the news came to Bavel that the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed. Okay, obviously, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. We fast today on the 10th of Teves, not on the 5th, but the Shita of Rav Shimon bar Yochai is fascinating, and we'll come back to it in a minute. But it raises a really, really interesting question, okay? And that is, well, first of all, let's just look at the Psukim in Yechezkel. So we don't have to learn Psukim from Gemara, even though Jackie's more comfortable that way. Let's learn them exactly as the Navi said. Source number 7, Yechezkel Perek Lamed Gimel, Vahi b'shtei asrei shana ba'asiri b'chamisha l'chodesh, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, legalutenu, ba'elai ha'palit mi'ushalayim le'mohuk sa'ir. On that day, on the 5th of Teves, a messenger came to Yechezkel in the Galus, and he said, Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And just to finish, V'yad Hashem ha'ita elai ba'erev lifnei bo ha'palit. And he said, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to me already the night before the messenger came. V'yiftach et pi ad bo elai ba'boker. And he opened my mouth until the morning. V'yiftach pi v'lo ne'elam ti'od. We'll come back to this, but it sounds like Yechezkel is saying, I had not gotten Nevuah for a long time. And wouldn't you know it, in a coincidence, right before the messenger comes to tell us the tragic news that Yerushalayim is destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts talking to me again. Okay? Remember that. We'll come back to that in a second. But let's ask a different question right now, a more of a halachic question. How could there be a machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rav Shimon bar Yochai, about what day to fast in the 10th month? As the Gemara sometimes says, in these cases, puk chaze ma'ama debar, just go out and see when people are fasting, right? You know, it's a factual thing. One says the fast is on the 10th, one says the fast is on the 5th. But people were fasting already. They lived after Churban Beis HaMikdash. How could there be a machlokes? This is one of the main sources for one of the most famous Minchas Chinuchs. It's too long to put on the page, but we'll take 2 minutes to remember this Minchas Chinuch, which we did together many, many years ago. The Minchas Chinuch has a bizarre revolutionary shita about the four fasts. Says the Minchas Chinuch, established on a particular day. He says, look at the Pasuk. So let's look at the Pasuk. It says, Tzoma Rivi'i, V'tzoma Chamishi, V'tzoma Shivi, V'tzoma Asiri. It never tells you what day of the month you have to fast on. So says the Minchas Chinuch, people fasted originally on whatever day they wanted in Tammuz, and whatever day they wanted in Av, and whatever day they wanted in Tishrei, and whatever day they wanted in Teves. Later on, he says, Chazal were koveya specific days, Shivasa B'Tamos, Tisha B'Av, you know, Tzom Gedalia, and Asar B'Teves. But that was only later. When the Machlokes, during the time of the Tanaim, and the Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Minchas Chinuch says, there were people who fasted on the 5th, there were people who fasted on the 10th. If it was inconvenient, you fasted on some other day. Because midivrei Kabbalah, from the Navi, there was no requirement to fast on a particular day. You were able to fast on whatever day you wanted in the month. Again, later on, there was a machlokes and they established specific days. The Minchas Chinuch uses this to answer a lot of questions about being docha a fast, right? Why are we docha fast? And he says, because there never was a day to begin with. But he also uses it to explain this Gemara. How could there be a machlokes about what day you fast? The answer is the Pasuk never tells us what day we have to fast. Therefore, there could be a machlokes until it was accepted lahalacha. Okay. Now, let's return to the question we started at the beginning. And the question was, how could it possibly be, or why would it be, that Asar B'Teves is the most important of the fasts as opposed to arguably the least important? So I mentioned when, according to the Shita of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that Teves, the fast is on the 5th day, because we're supposed to fast on the day that the Jews in Golos got the word. It sounds like in source number 7 that Yechezkel started getting Nevuah again on that day. And if you look at source number 8, Yechezkel and Perek Gimel, it seems that way exactly. There, the Navi says, Va'ata ben Adam, hine natnu alecha avotim. You know, literally would mean they've bound you. Va'asarucha bahem belote tse bitocham. And you've been restricted. And God says, don't go to them anymore. U'lishoncha adbik el chikecha. Those are words we should remember. U'lishoncha adbik el chikecha. Tidbak lishoni lechiki. Literally, you know, your tongue will be stuck to your mouth. He basically says, I'm not going to let you talk to them anymore. He basically suspends Yechezkel as a Navi. Not because Yechezkel did anything wrong, because he says it's not going to help. The people are not going to listen to you. When I let you speak again, just tell them, listen, you want to listen to me? Listen to me. If not, don't, because you're a rebellious bunch. There is the sense that when the palit, when the messenger got to Bavel to tell them the tragic news, something happened. And that was that Yechezkel started to be an active Navi again. Okay, hold on to that. Let's look quickly at the halacha. Okay, source number 9, Tavkuf Nun in Arachayim, Seif Gimel, says the Mechaber, Kol Dalid Somot, the four fasts that we've been discussing, halalu these, Imchalu Lihiyot B'Shabbos, Nidchin La'achar Shabbos. If any of the four fasts falls out on Shabbos, it's Nidcha till Sunday. Says the Mishnah Berurah right there, Kol Dalit Somos, Kol Lav Dafka. It doesn't really mean all. De La Olam Ein Asara B'Teves Chol B'Shabbos. Lemaisa, it's true. If a fast, you know, the fast days that fall on Shabbos are deferred till Sunday. But says the Mishnah Berurah, you should know, one of the fast days can never fall on Shabbos. And that is the fast day of Asar B'Teves. Okay, so you can't do much with it, although I think it hints that the Mishnah Berurah was aware of this strange shita that I quoted at the beginning that we'll look at together now. Source number 10, the Avudraham. Is from North Africa in the 1200s. He was a leading Rishon at his time. And he wrote a sefer on tefillah, and it has within it a lot of halachos relating to tefillah. It's just called the Sefer Avudraham. You know, it's one of the first sfarim published. It really was early on a significantly influential sefer. And here he goes. He says, V'chiluk yesh beinehem. There's a difference between the four fast days. Sha'arba'at hatzomot hein nidchim lefamim kishachalu b'shabos. The four fast days are pushed off when they fall on Shabbos. Chutz me asara b'tevet she'eino chal le'olam b'shabbat. Other than asar b'teves, it's a strange thing to say. Asar b'teves is not pushed off from Shabbos because it never falls on Shabbos. So who cares? Let's go on. Aval hu chal lifamim b'yom shishi, but it happens sometimes that Asar B'Teves falls out on Friday, like today. Umit anim bo biyom, and we fast on that day. And now he says, Va'afilu hayachal b'Shabbos, even if Asar B'Teves fell out on Shabbos, lo hayu yicholim lidchot liyom acher. We would have to fast on Shabbos. We would not be able to push it off to another day. Why? Mipnei she'ne'emar bo be'etzem hayom hazeh. Okay, it's a staggering chiddush. The Avudraham says it's true. Asar b'teves never falls out on Shabbos. But if it did, we would have to fast because the Navi, with respect to the fast of Teves, uses the words be'etzem hayom hazeh. So what? What does it matter that the Navi uses the words Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh? So first, let's go back to see that it's really true. When God appears to Yechezkel, remember what we saw was the reason we fast on Asar B'Teves is because the siege began. But there were two sources for it. One was just, you know, the chronology in Malachim, but the other was that God appeared to Yechezkel in the Golos, in the exile of Bavel, and told him. Here we are, source number 4, Ben Adam, Ksav lechat shem hayom hazeh, et etzem hayom hazeh, samach melech bavel yushalayim, be'etzem hayom hazeh. Loosely translated as, on this exact day. Okay? So, apparently, the Avudraham says, when it says, be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this exact day, you can't move the fast. Apparently, there's something unique about that day. It may be many people understand that it's related to the other fast day that's not deferred from Shabbos, and that would be Yom Kippur, source 11. The pasuk says, "Ki kol hanefesh asher lo teuneh be'etzem hayom hazeh v'nichrasa me'amel." So be'etzem hayom hazeh keeps Yom Kippur in its proper place. on Shabbos when it falls out on Shabbos. So Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh keeps Asar B'Teves in its proper place, and the Avudraham says we would fast on Asar B'Teves if it ever fell out that way. And maybe that's why it doesn't, according to the Avudraham. It's hard to accept, right? It's hard to accept, first of all, that Avudraham doesn't get to make his own Gzeira Shavas. No one does. So he can't really say, well, it says Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh with respect to Yom Kippur, so, and it says Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh with respect to Asar B'Teves, so, you know, just like Yom Kippur is not a Nidcha, so Asar B'Teves is not a Nidcha. He doesn't really get to make a Gzeira Shavah like that. Second, the phrase Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh appears in many places just as part of the chronology, not to make a specific point. Noach entered the Teva Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh, right? In the brightness, in the middle of this exact day. Avraham got a bris milah Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, right? It just emphasizes the day. We left Mitzrayim Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So again, it's hard to understand what motivates the Avudraham to say that we would be docha, I don't know, let's say, an Isser Shabbos, an Isser Doraisa of fasting on Shabbos for a Drabanan fast of Asar B'Teves. There are, first let's do the Lamdus, then we'll do what I think is the deeper on the Avudraham. They really pick on him. But there is a pretty well-known answer to this, which I think is fascinating. Okay? It's first brought in the Kiryas Sefer. First, I'll try to describe it. It's based on the following. What's the prohibition of fasting on Shabbos? So first of all, it's not 100% clear that it's really an Isser D'oraisa. But if it was, as we'll see, the Isser D'oraisa is to fast on Shabbos. But Asar B'Teves is not a 25-hour fast. Right? It's a 12-hour fast, or maybe in our case, a 9-hour fast or less. So even if we were to fast Asar B'Teves on Shabbos, we would not have fasted the whole Shabbos. Right? We could make Kiddush at night. We could eat a meal. You know, we could eat early, early in the morning. Okay. Then we wouldn't eat during the day. But it's not as if we're being docha, you know, we're being over on an Isser D'oraisa for a mitzvah d'rabbanan, because the Isser d'oraisa is to fast 25 hours. That's what the Kiryas Sefer says in number 12. V'nirali, da'afim nomar de'isser tainis b'shabbos minat Torah, even if you want to say that fasting on Shabbos is asur min ha'Torah, hainu im hisana laila b'yom. That's only if you fast for 25 hours, night and day. Deleka inui min haTorah ela laila v'yom, because when the Torah talks about afflicting yourself in the context of Yom Kippur, that's talking about a 25-hour fast. Okay, but here we're not talking about a 25-hour fast. So interestingly, it also answers another question: how could it be that we would fast on Shabbos for Asar B'Teves but not for Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is obviously much more chamor. Well, the answer is no. Tisha B'Av is a 25-hour fast. So you can never fast that on Shabbos. But Asar B'Teves, maybe. Now he says, V'ra'iti katub b'shem Arashba Zal, shekosav al Arav Zal on the Rambam, she'if sharlomar, she'savur she'isurhu lehisanos b'Shabbos minat Torah, al inyan nishba shalo le'echol b'Shabbos, dahav yashvu ashav. There's a famous shita in the Rambam where if somebody takes a shvua, or in not to eat on Shabbos, the Rambam says the shvu is not chal, right? Your oath doesn't take effect. Why? Because you're masna al masha kosov b'Torah. The Torah said you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. So if you take a shvu to fast on Shabbos, it's null and void. So says the Kiryas Sefer, no. The Rambam is talking about if you took a shvu to fast 25 hours on Shabbos. That would be masnal mashikos of a Torah. That would be taking a shvu against the Torah. But if it's not 25 hours, if you're going to have a meal at night, only fast during the day, then that would not be masnal mashikos of a Torah. It would not be the case that fasting on Asar B'Teves is a violation of an Isra D'oraisa fasting on Shabbos. So therefore, it could be that on a halachic level, the Shita of Rabbi Draham, that you fast on Shabbos of Asar B'Teves, is not a drabanan being doche a doraisa, which is obviously prohibited. It's a drabanan being doche a drabanan. And I
Ellie, think does, Ellie, question: does he address himself to avelos on Shabbos?
We have avelos on Shabbos. We don't have avelos befarhesia, but we have avelos betzino. Right? Everybody knows you sit shiva on Shabbos. Just you don't have people visit you.
Right, but right? Wouldn't the fasting be a sign of public avelos?
So, you know, it's an interesting technical question. I think you could argue that you know it's not Tisha B'Av. You would show up to shul with your Shabbos clothes on. Okay. Again, the fact that I'm already wearing my Shabbos clothes doesn't make me frumer than you. I'm also about to eat dinner. You show up to shul, no one would know the difference, right? You're just not eating. Now, probably people would know the difference because there's a public din of being crabby on a fast day. So probably people would be even more, short with each other than they are regularly in shul. But I don't think it's really, that's really a problem. But you go back to the... You go
Ellie,
back
can't, to, can't the Abad Ram be pointing to Tanis Chalom?
Yeah, so I was going to say that. Obviously, there is some support for the Shita in that the halacha is... I know it's specific and it's terrifying and you don't want it to come true. Fast on Shabbos. But one of the reasons you're allowed to fast, Jackie, is because the feeling is you won't enjoy Oneg Shabbos anyway. Right? You're so terrified by the dream, you want to fast because then you'll be doing something constructive, to make the dream not come true. And in fact, in a bizarre halacha, the halacha is fast on Shabbos, then fast again, ta'anis l'ta'aniso. Right? We let you fast on Shabbos, even though you're not supposed to. Then we make you fast another day to do tshuva for having fasted on Shabbos. It's a bizarre thing, but you're right that at least it speaks to the fact that, every ta'anis halom is not a 25-hour fast. Because what happens is you ate dinner, then you went to sleep, or maybe you stayed up to learn first, but then you went to sleep. When you woke up, you started a fast. But you're definitely right that it does serve as some kind of support for the Avudraham. Okay, but let's go back to the more fundamental question, which is, under what theory would you fast on Shabbos, for Asar B'Teves, which is not a significant fast, and you wouldn't do it for Tisha B'Av? Just leave it for that. How could it be that Asar B'Teves is in any way more important than Tisha B'Av? Okay, so there's a number of suggestions I want to make. The first one I think is very simple. And that is, we always follow Tchilat Puranut. The beginning of the tragedy in Halacha is more important than the end. So one theory is the following, and I think it's interesting, and I think it ought to make today more meaningful. And that is, sometimes you pass a point of no return. So it's true. The only thing that happened on Asar B'Teves was that Nebuchadnezzar started the siege of Jerusalem. But from a different perspective, on that day, the future of the Beis HaMikdash was sealed. Once Nebuchadnezzar showed up, once the Jews were unable to accept that Nebuchadnezzar was supposed to rule them until God decided otherwise, on Asar B'Teves, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. You'll say to me, it's not true. It wasn't destroyed till 18 months later. The answer is, yeah, but that's a technicality. Once they showed up, Asar B'Teves was Tchilas Puranus, and the die was cast. From that day on, there was no way the Beis HaMikdash could be saved.
One second.
Let me finish my point before you jump on me. We see this someplace else. Everybody knows that the Beis HaMikdash was really destroyed on the 10th of Av. It was set on fire at the end of the 9th, and then it was destroyed on the 10th. Why do we fast on the 9th? Because once it was set on fire, it was done. It's true. It wasn't destroyed till the next day, but the die was cast. Anybody who was there knew for a fact, you know, that this is done. Lahavdil elef alfei avdalos. It's just the way my mind works, right? You know, you're down 3 scores. There's 5 minutes left in the game. The other team has the ball. Okay, the game is over. So insane, silly fans keep watching till the end of the game, but you know it's done, right? The clock has to run out, but you know it's done. Lahavdil, the same thing in history. Something happens on that day. The result becomes inevitable, even though it didn't happen yet. Yes, Henry.
Ari Witowski had a question, so he couldn't unmute himself. He said, why are we makbid to make kiddush before chatzos on Shabbos?
Yeah, because you're not supposed to fast on Shabbos, but not midoraisa. Yeah, absolutely right. Of course, it's a fair point. I'm pretending. It's an absolutely fair point. I'm pretending if you ate at night, you don't have to eat during the day. Of course I made that up. It's not true. I mean, the Kiryas Sefer doesn't think it's true. Of course he's supposed to make Kiddush, and he's supposed to have 2 meals Shabbos day. But nobody thinks that's Doraisa. So if I'm trying to explain the Avudraham, I want to get it down to be a Drabanan problem. But of course, Midrabanan, you're supposed to make Kiddush before Chatzos. It's absolutely the case. And Midrabanan, you're supposed to have 3 meals on Shabbos. And Midrabanan, you're supposed, you know, it's all true. It's just, I'm trying to reduce it. The Kiryas Sefer is trying to reduce it from a Doraisa to a Drabanan. In theory, at least.
But does that mean, Ellie, does that mean that midaraisa, so there's the only kind of fast is me'eis la'eis 25 hours? There's no such thing as a day fast?
It's unrelated, but yeah, that's exactly true. There's one fast midaraisa. Absolutely. Okay, now, that's the first explanation. The second explanation is fancier, but I like it a lot. Okay? The first explanation is based on the historical fact that on the 9th of Teves, the siege began. But remember, there was a second reason for the 9th, I'm sorry, for the 10th of Teves. There was a second reason. And that was on that day, Yechezkel got the word that the siege had begun and he shared it. And on that day, when the news came, it became clear that Yechezkel was a true Navi. So it's not the historical fact of Asar B'Teves, which is not so significant. It's the conveying of the information to Yechezkel. Because the whole point of Churban Beis HaMikdash was to get us to realize that there's nothing magical about the Beis HaMikdash. If we reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Beis HaMikdash is not going to save us. If we reject the Nevi'im of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Beis HaMikdash is not going to save us. It's almost the opposite of Hanukkah. We talked about this on Hanukkah, right? The miracle of Hanukkah was winning the war. But in order for people to understand that the war was miraculous, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle of oil, so we'd all know that it was the Yad Hashem who did this. Here it's the opposite. Here, we would assume that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was, whatever it means, was against God's will, or God was neutral. He allowed it to happen, but you know, he didn't want it to happen. The answer is no. God comes to the Navi and says, I am destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Asar B'Teves is like the recognition on our part that if we don't keep our part of the covenant, nothing's going to save us, not even the Heichal Hashem. Again, we have to change our understanding. You know, we think, of course, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. But if you lived at the end of Bayis Sheni, right? Your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, you never met a person you couldn't imagine a world without a Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was permanent. It would, in your mind at least, it would never be destroyed. It would always be there to save us. And on Asara B'Teves, that the recognition that that was not the case started to seep in. And to a certain extent, if you go back to the psukim we read at the beginning, we're not going to have time to do it now. You know, it was the day that people started to understand that Yechezkel is a real Navi and Yirmiyahu is a real Navi and we have real obligations to God. But to really see this, go to the sheet of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says it's the fifth day of Teves, which is the day on which the news came back to Yechezkel and the rest in the Gola, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So why? So on the one hand, it's a tragic day, right? The news came to them and, you know, they're distraught. On the other hand, something great happened on that day. Yechezkel started to get prophecy again. On the day of the destruction, say it my way, on the day of the destruction, the Jews started doing tshuva and started planning for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, which took place only 70 years later, right? At a certain point, you know, you're waiting for the event to happen. But in Teves, the event happens, and all of a sudden, we turn a page, and the next stage in Jewish history starts. And I think, obviously, it's true for any historical event, right? There's the tragedy, but then there's what you do with it and about it. And without, you know, pontificating too much, the Rabbanut made today, you know, what's called Yom HaKadish HaKalil, right? The day of saying Kaddish for people who don't know the date of the death of their loved ones in the Holocaust. And I think, you know, there's a certain parallel, right? The Holocaust happened. And then the news came. Obviously, there were many people who knew what was going on during the fact, but there were many, many people who denied it, right? And then it became undeniable, right? The tragedy of the Holocaust, the massive destruction, became undeniable. And the question is, what do you do with that news? Well, you could be depressed and you could curl up in a ball and you could give up, or you could start planning for the next stage in Jewish history. And, you know, I'm not here to say, and I always apologize when I talk Zionism, I'm not here to say that there's a direct line between, God forbid, the Holocaust and the State of Israel. But people the Holocaust, and they said, look, you know, we could be who we were and we could be depressed, or we could use it to spur ourselves to something else. And I think just like the Jews in the Golos Yehoyachin in Bavel with Yechezkel got the news, and they said, okay, we believe that on Asar B'Tavis, I don't know where I saw this, so if I'm wrong, don't get me. We believe that Asar B'Tavis, Yechezkel said the Nevuah of the Atzamot HaYeveshot, of the dry bones, right? What do you see? You see all these dead people. It's time to get up. Okay, after the Holocaust, the same exact thing happened. It was time for the Jewish people to repent. It was time for the Jewish people to get up. It was time for the Jewish people to turn over the next page in history. And, you know, there's no equivalence and there's no explanation. And God forbid, I don't understand anything about the Holocaust. But I think whether this was the intention or not, there's a huge parallel between Asar B'Teves, which was on one shita, you know, the beginning of the siege. And it was a tragedy because the end was foreseen already on that day. But in another shita was more important, because it was the day that the Jews started to realize that sometimes God punishes us and nothing is permanent. And sometimes we have to do things on our own and we have to become better versions of ourselves. Otherwise, we're in trouble. Okay, I have 2 minutes till Shabbos. Thank you so much.